So the Indians brought back a familiar face, Coco Crisp, who I have to admit was a little before my time before I was an Indians fan, but I definitely know the name.
Well, Amanda, this is hard to believe for those of us who are older and a young lady like you, but Coco came up in 2002. This is his 15th season.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
And he was a 300 hitter in 2004 and 2005 for the Indians, playing left field. And he's one of those, first of all, the name Coco is kind of a cool one. Kids, he was a smaller player, 5'9". Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't a hot prospect. He always kind of defied the odds coming up. So the Indians, after the 2005 season, that year they won 93 games but missed the playoffs.
Okay.
They've been looking for a third baseman forever. As you know, they're still sort of looking for a third baseman.
Yeah,
this is like one of these
prevailing
themes with the Indians.
Yeah.
So they traded Coco for a prospect that we were just looking up before.
Andy Marte.
Andy Marte, who at that point was 21 years old. And I remember he had like good numbers in the minors and things. But the first time I saw him, Amanda, he was kind of a stocky right-handed hitter. His swing was big and slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, did they actually scout him?
Mm.
His numbers were good and the minors weren't great. So Coco goes on, plays for Boston, plays in a World Series for Boston one time.
Yeah.
Gets traded for Oakland, plays in the playoffs many years. Andy Marte, by the way, I was sort of bored one day when when they traded for Coco. I'm at the Indians game. I go, well, wonder where he is. So I started Googling Andy Marte. He had played in Mexico. He had played somewhere else. He's in the Korean Baseball League.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Oh, my.
You're number two. It's a lot of home runs in Korea. So he's found his place.
Okay. Well, that's good for him,
I guess. For Andy. And the weird thing, Amanda, he's only 32.
Oh, my. Wow.
You know, it feels like he's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who are older, it feels like Coco isn't that old, but he's how old?
He's 36.
36. So, you know, the Indians just brought him back in. They need another outfielder. And not that it's a big deal, but I think he will help them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for those of us who, when he played the other night, I think it was Saturday night, he got a huge ovation from the fans.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because, first of all, Indians fans, we do the demographics, the hardcore anyway, they tend to be A, older, and B, pretty astute on their players. And they have their guys. They always like when you bring an old player back that used to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what they did. And the nice thing, I think Coco had like two or three hits his first game back. And so here you are. But there's actually a strategic reason for bringing him back.
What's that?
Abraham Almonte,
right.
Remember, was suspended
for
the first 80 games. Well, he could play now, but he's ineligible for the playoffs.
Okay, so that eliminates him.
And here's why. Actually, another former Indian's involved in this. It's called the Johnny Peralta rule.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, was it the Indians? Then he got traded to the Tigers. He got busted on steroids. And his suspension ended about a week before the playoffs.
So he came back.
He came back and played in the playoffs. Well, everybody's screaming about this. You know, well, wait a minute. This guy's just got busted on the steroids and this, and now he's back playing. So they put a rule in after that regardless of when you serve your suspension during that season, you're not allowed to play in the postseason.
Okay.
So the Indians shopped around for different outfielders. Coco was with Oakland. They're a bad team. They're, you know, usually like what the Indians be doing, dumping their veterans. So they picked up Coco, and he's back. And so that was kind of the reason. But it's like, you look at it, former Indian Johnny Peralta was behind all this, and Abraham Almonte.
It all crosses through Cleveland at some point.
I guess it does. But, I mean, the nice thing is instead of watching the Indians, you know, putting up a for sale sign,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've been running around trying to add players.
Yeah.
You look at, you know, they picked up Andrew Miller, you know, has been really good in the bullpen. And they're, even some of the guys that they brought up from the minors came up from trades from other teams. So that's, you know, that was kind of nice to see. And those of us, and as for, I talked to somebody from the Indians, and he actually was not directly involved in the deal. He was a younger executive then. And I said, did you have anything to do with the Andy Marte deal? He goes, I can't run from it. Because I was part of the research. And I just said, well, what do you think happened? He said, well, you know, it is. He goes, it's kind of like the trade we just made.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the Indians trading Clint Frazier and some of these other prospects for Andrew Miller. Now, he says, the Indians, we think Clint Frazier is going to be a good major league player, but we don't know.
Yeah.
In fact, Frazier at 21 is the same age that Andy Marte was when he was traded.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And as he said, there's still prospects. He goes, now we're sitting there and we're looking at, we know Andrew Miller's good,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the same thing, when Boston was looking for an outfitter and they traded Andy Marte, they know Coco Crisp will hit between 270 and 300. Because at that point, he had done like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And they knew he was a good outfielder. And if Andy Marte ends up being a heck of a player, well, okay, we'll worry about that later. We're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's their kind of thing. So I did see sort of a circular thing there, but also the change of thinking. And we were just talking about different players, how you can be so sure on prospects. But there is this, it's not a short gap, Amanda. It's a big gap now between AAA and the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're an Indians fan. You see sometimes these guys come up with these gaudy numbers.
Yeah.
Well, even like the other night, Mike Clevinger.
Yeah.
Who I happen to like. I think he could pitch. You know, how has he been so far?
Iffy,
right. His record in AAA was 11-1.
Wow.
I mean, you could send him back there again. You know what he's going to do? He's going to win a ton of games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either he's going to make it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what happened when the Indians kept sending Lonnie Chisenhall back and forth to the minors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the times they sent him back to the minors, he hit 380.
Wow.
Now, it was his fourth year, part of his fourth year in Columbus. He was there like long enough to be mayor. You know, mm-hmm. at some point, that's what they did when they brought Lonnie back last year and put him in the outfield. The decision was made, this is it. He either shows he can play the outfield and can be part of the team, or we get him out of here.
Yeah.
Because sending him down to AAA doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the point being here is, you know, I think back about the Coco trade for the prospect. Now, sometimes you turn around and trade for prospects, and they come through. Michael Brantley was one. Carlos Carrasco was another. Corey Kluber was another. Trevor Bauer was another. The Indians have piled up a lot of prospects
yeah.
who ended up being good big leaguers.
Okay.
But Coco reminds us that doesn't always happen.
Okay. Interesting. Well, it's, I guess, good to have him back.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have Coco Crisp coming up in a clutch situation than, you know, just some kid from the minors.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was it. So, and besides, this is the most important thing. Back when Coco was at the Indians the first time, he was my wife's favorite player.
So there you have it.
There
That's
you
the
go.
Most important thing. Terry, thanks.
Thanks, Amanda.